right. Amen. Thank you for that, brother. Well, I was praying for you the whole time, and the Lord helped you get through that. You did a tremendous job. But I will remember next time. I'll put the video after Brother Ray sings. All right. So good to be here with you. Let's take our Bibles. We'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. And while you're turning there, let me just give you a little note in regard to something that was asked to me here recently, and that is in regard to baby dedication. I know that that's, again, that has been something that is brought to me. So if there are those of you that are interested in a baby dedication, all right, I'm looking at Father's Day right now, but I'm going to wait to hear from those of you in regard to that. We'll just leave that as it is, but I'll wait to hear from you. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. King David has just returned from a battle that he had had with the Amalekites, he and his men, and to find out that Israel had been defeated in another battle against the Philistines. And he found out that the Philistines, and you read about it in the previous book, in 1 Samuel, in the last couple of chapters, and the last chapter in particular with all the details, that the Philistine army had followed hard, and that's how it's described. They followed hard after Saul and his three sons. And when they had overtaken them, they ultimately killed them. And now we are in 2 Samuel, and we're going to take a look here in verses 11 and 12, and we see how this affected David. Now remember, Saul was the first king of Israel, and then David became the second king, and Saul was anything but a friend to David. He was jealous of David and envious, and he sought him day in and day out throughout the mountainsides of Israel, trying to destroy David. But David is truly bereaved, and he would never touch God's anointed. He just left that up to God to take care of that, but he honored that. You know, there's just something about honoring a position. Amen? Yeah. You know, you might not always agree with somebody who's in a position, someone who's in leadership, but may we salute the position. That's something that is just the right thing to do. So it says here in verse 11, then David took a hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him, and they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. So we see that David was greatly bereaved over the loss of Saul and Jonathan, and in the last chapter of 1 Samuel, there's the two other sons that were mentioned as well. He understood the great sacrifice that was made, the ultimate sacrifice that these men had made for their homeland, for their country. David knows the commitments that soldiers willingly make. David goes on to honor these men for the great sacrifice that they made, and that was their lives. Verses 17, let's read 17 all the way till the end of the chapter. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? With that, let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we're grateful. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together again, as we've noted numerous times. Lord, may we never take for granted the opportunity to assemble ourselves together. We went for a number of weeks where we couldn't do it, and we never would have guessed that would have taken place. But we thank you that we're back again, and we're just greatly thankful for the opportunities that we have. Lord, again, may we never take those things for granted. We thank you for what we've had today. What a blessing it is to gather together, to have the fellowship that we've had. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities to sing unto you and praise you and worship. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Lord, we do pray and ask that you'd be with our country. We thank you for those who have defended our country. We thank you for this. We can acknowledge it and commemorate it today. Lord, we thank you for those who did pay that ultimate sacrifice. They gave their lives for us. So many that we've never seen, but maybe we've heard about them from family members. Maybe we saw some old footage, some old videos of some of these individuals in battle or that were in service to you. And to us, by name, they've been forgotten, but help us to never forget the sacrifice that was made for us. Lord, there have just been countless who were willing to defend this country, and you use them, and we're thankful for that. Lord, thank you for those now who defend our country. We pray that you'd watch out over them and keep them safe. But we thank you for this day that we can acknowledge those who have given their lives for us and for the freedoms that we have. So we pray that in this service that we would certainly commemorate their memory. We also pray, Lord, that you would be lifted up and glorified, more important than anything. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice you made for us. We thank you for what we have in Christ today. And Lord, we pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. Lord, that's what my heart's desire is. I don't want to get in the way of that, so I pray that you'd use me today. And Lord, we pray that if there's somebody here without Christ, that you would show them their need to trust Christ for salvation. So we thank you and praise you. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, how the mighty are fallen. This morning we want to salute and honor those who gave their lives for defending our great nation. We say thank you, and we wish we could say thank you face to face, but we say thank you for your sacrifice. Your sacrifice, folks, it's given us our liberties. You know, sometimes we just take things, you know, in stride, and we take things again for granted, and we can get real commonplace about things. I'm not saying you've done that, but we can. And maybe there are times when we do that, but folks, may we just never forget. May we never forget the price that people and individuals made so that we can have what we have. Brother Jones was just talking earlier about how spoiled we are. And we are, you know, I'll just say that. I know I make a grand sweep of a statement when I say that. I know I am. We live like kings. I mean, we do. I've said it before jokingly. I mean, where else can you have your own My Pillow, right? We live in the land where we just can have anything that we want. I mean, we can know our own sleep number. I don't think our forefathers knew their own sleep numbers, really. But, I mean, we just have everything. We can go down the road and the passenger can have, you know, their temperature set to their ideal, and the driver can. I mean, when did that ever happen? Folks, we're just blessed as Americans, and sometimes we can be, you know, we can just take that for granted. But we've been given these wonderful liberties because there were sacrifices that were made. And we want to certainly honor those. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. We read one of the verses that we read was John 15 and verse 13, the last verse. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It was going to be very shortly, the very next day, that the Lord Jesus Christ would give his life for his friends. But he gave his life for the sins of the whole world. Amen. He gave his life so that we could be saved. So we have an opportunity today to celebrate those who gave their all. Today, as we celebrate Memorial Day this weekend, we are certainly unable to say thank you face to face with those who made that ultimate sacrifice in giving their lives for our country. Oh, how the mighty are fallen. But what we can do is to be able to honor them for their service and for the sacrifices that they've made, and to say thank you to their loved ones. Along with that, we can certainly thank our veterans, amen, those who have served our country in the past, and for those who presently serve, so many who continually put their lives on the line from day to day. Our country is first and foremost great because of the great God of heaven, who through his divine providence and incredible mercies has directed and kept it through all of these years. What are we heading on? 244 years as a nation here in another 2 months? Man, praise the Lord for what he has given to us, and that we can be a part of this. But along with that, this nation is very special because of the outstanding men and women who fought for what it stands for. This morning, we want to salute and honor those who gave their lives for defending our great nation. Thank you again for your sacrifice. May all of us remember the price that was paid. I'm grateful for these opportunities on these designated days to be able to do that. I think I said it in Sunday school just a few weeks ago. We had an opportunity to commemorate and honor our moms, because moms are great, and they deserve a day that's called Mother's Day. They probably should be more of those than just one on the calendar, right? And the same is said here for those who gave their lives. I don't think you could say thank you enough for everything that they've done. The freedoms that we enjoy today, folks, as Americans, did not just simply happen. I think we know that, but I think it's just good for us to be reminded of that. I think it's good for us to tell our young children, the young people, about the sacrifices that have been made, so that it just doesn't, you know. I think we're beginning to see a generation now, unfortunately, that has just been so doted upon that they've become to have an entitlement type of a mentality, that everything is due them, everything is owed to them. Man, woe be unto that. Folks, we have what we have because somebody paid a dear price, because sacrifices, that's just how it works. If we're going to be a blessing to somebody else, then we must be willing to make sacrifices. Now, our sacrifices might not be the ultimate one of giving our lives, but folks, we can make a sacrifice in our lives for those who follow behind us so that they could be blessed. But then may in turn we teach them to make the sacrifices for those that will follow them. Because if we don't make those efforts and we don't teach our children, then we can fall into that trap of, well, I got all this because it's owed unto me. No, not in any way. Not in any way. I think of what Moses spoke to the Israelites before they headed into the promised land, before they headed into Canaan. I didn't even have this in my notes, but as I think about it, I think of it in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and you can turn there. And he said this to them and remember, Moses was not allowed to take them into the promised land. It was going to be Joshua. But Moses warned them of some things. And he said this in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said in verse 7, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass." Sounds like America too. This was Canaan that he spoke of, where the Israelites were about ready to head into. And he says in verse 10, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." And he said this, Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And I think about us Americans, when we've gotten our American dream, when we've gotten what we want, that's what he's saying. Be careful when everything has been fulfilled and the things that you've wanted and have lusted for and coveted, you've gotten it. He says in verse 13, "And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied." And then he says in verse 14, "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." And then verse 17 says, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." Folks, it's so easy to do that. We have an old carnal nature, and we can certainly slip away from that, and we can take the blessings of God that he has given to us on a regular basis. The Bible says that daily he loadeth us with benefits. And we need to be careful, folks, that we just don't take them in stride, that we just don't take them and let them multiply in our lives without thanking God for them. Amen. May we be on our face each and every day and say, "Thank you, Lord, that I had the opportunity to rise up today and to go to church." Amen. Not everybody had that opportunity. It's so easy just to take things for granted. And to think, well, yeah, we live in a great country. Well, yeah, of course it's great. I'm here. And sometimes we want to take credit. We do. We want to take credit for the blessings that have been brought our way. And we begin to start no longer acknowledging God, but just thinking about what we've done to create this great situation that we're in. Well, I've worked hard, and I've earned this, and then we begin to take the credit. And that's what Moses said. And you begin to say, by my power, you know, and by my efforts, I've attained all this. No, God can take this all away. God can take this away in a heartbeat. And may we be a grateful people. May we be thankful for what he has given to us. This is just wonderful. I mean, we're out between Sunday school and this morning service, and there was a number of us just looking at the hills over there, the Rathdrum Hills and mountain, and just, it's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous what we have. Might we thank God for his creation? Might we thank God for what he has given to us? Might we thank God for our wives? Might we thank God for our children? Might we thank God for our church? Might we thank God for everything that he has given to us? And I know that everything is not perfect, but folks, we live on a cursed earth. But if we're saved, we have Jesus Christ in our hearts. And one of these days, this old body is going to be done with, and we're going to be with the Lord. And we're going to have a glorified body, and there's not going to be any more sin. Can you imagine that? Ruben Garcia with no more sin? Some of you are like, I can't imagine that, but it's going to happen. I know, and I'm just like, I can't believe it. I won't even be able to think of any sin. I'll have a new nature. I'll be just like Christ. I'll be with him. How wonderful is that? Folks, may we be thankful. And may we be thankful again for what he's done in our lives, but may we be thankful for those who paid a price. I think about certainly those, as we acknowledge them, those who've defended our country, but how many others who have made a sacrifice for us? Again, I mentioned Mother's Day just a little, a couple weeks ago that we acknowledged, and Father's Day's coming up. If you still have an opportunity to thank Mom and thank Dad and just say, sometimes I don't give it a whole lot of thought, but you made a lot of sacrifices. I just want to thank you for those. While you have an opportunity, thank Mom and Dad and say thank you for, doing without so that we could have something. It's important. It's important that we learn to be grateful. It's important that we would not take these freedoms that we have for granted. They came about, folks, because so many were willing to give of themselves for our country. You and I have become blessed recipients as a result of it. But now let me just speak for a few moments on the topic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10. In fact, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll just take a look at verses 4 through 10. This is way back in eternity past as the Son is speaking to the Father. Kind of hard to get your mind wrapped around all of this, but it says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 10 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." He said, those sacrifices were a type, but he said, thou wouldest not. Those are not what will suffice. It's not those sacrifices. They depict something. They symbolize something. They symbolize someone who would give his life for us. And so he says, but a body hast thou prepared me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not. Neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hey, think about that. That was the Son of God who sat with the Father on the throne, and when it was realized that a sacrifice must be made for man's sins, he said, Father, here am I. Send me. I'll take on a body, and I'll go down there. I will die in their place that they might live and that they might be benefited by my sacrifice. You remember 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's glory. And here, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine that the Son of God, that God himself, God manifest in the flesh, would want to come to a wicked place You just think about the most vile, ugly place that you can think of. And it just makes your skin crawl. I used to hate to have to go down into as a service technician for Intermountain Gas Company. I used to hate to go down into those crawl spaces. Crawl spaces don't have, it's just not the place that you'd want to go. I mean, when have you with your family said, hey kids, hon, how about we all go down in the crawl space and let's have a party down there? I don't think any of us have ever done that. There's a lot of bad things that happen beneath your floor, okay? I'll just say that. Now you're going to be thinking, oh, no, I'm thinking about all those black widows and all. That's just not a good place to go. I don't like to go there. I never used to like to go. I was always praying. I used to put on two sets of coveralls every time I'd go under there. I just didn't like those spiders and things and mice and whatever else would be down there. Think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ leaves heaven. God, who's perfectly holy and righteous, and he comes to a filthy earth, and he did that for us. He did that for us, and he lived a sinless life, and he met the demands of the law, something that we could not do. He did it in our place, and then he died on a cross where we should have gone, and he died for the sins of the whole world, the Bible says. And then he was buried and rose again. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father and wants to come into your life and into my life. I'm so glad that 40-some years ago I invited Christ into my life and that I know I'm saved. And I don't deserve it. I deserve hell. I deserve hell and probably should even be there now, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to heaven because of what Christ has done for me. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for every one of us. If you're here today without Christ, he died for you. He wants you to be saved. And listen, don't you know that the Lord Jesus Christ always had that opportunity to back away from the cross? You remember, we looked at it just a few weeks ago, that when Satan was tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness. And in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, it speaks about that temptation. And the devil could rightly offer this. He offered all the kingdoms. He took him up to an exceeding high mountain. That's just crazy to think about, but Satan did that and took the Lord Jesus up there and then showed him all the kingdoms of the world and says, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of these. Now, he wasn't saying it in jest. He was rightly the owner of that. Because of the curse, man forfeited that. And the devil had that to give to him, but the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm glad he didn't take him up on that offer. Because if he'd have taken him up on that offer, he would have bypassed the cross. No, one day the Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign over this world, but it's by way of the cross. And he died on a cross for us so that we could be saved. But he had that opportunity when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He could have called 12 legion of angels, it says. But I'm glad he didn't, folks. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says that the Lord Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured the cross, despising the shame. We all know that well-known verse, how splendid it is in John 3:16. Let's all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a great verse that is. That the Lord, that God gave his Son to die for us. That he loved the world so much he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you have that everlasting life right now. Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom for all, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6. Oh, how the mighty is fallen. Yet our Savior did not remain fallen. Amen? The Bible says he rose again and he conquered death. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're willing to believe that Jesus died for you on a cross, and was buried and rose again. The Bible says that you can be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here without Christ, then I persuade you, I urge you to trust Christ. No one's going to be in your face. We don't want to do that. But we know what God has given to us because of this great sacrifice. And we want you to have that as well. The Lord Jesus Christ conquered death so that you and I could live and be born again. If you're here today, again, without Jesus Christ, won't you get saved today? That's the greatest decision that I ever made. Was back on January the 8th, 1977, when I asked Christ to be my Savior. So now as we celebrate Memorial Day, may our hearts be stirred with gratitude for those who have given their lives for all of us. And may we not just be thankful that at this time of year only, but may we always be thankful. May we go up to somebody who's a veteran or somebody who's presently serving in our military and say thank you. Thank you for your service. In fact, do we have any family here today or relatives or spouses of someone who gave their life in the line of duty for our country? Do we have anybody? Yes, we have some. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord for what we have. I so much enjoy seeing some interviews with some of these veterans that are still hanging around and some of the stories that they tell of, yeah, those are some of my buddies and they died in the same battle that we were all in, and somehow I made it through it. And now they're in their 90s and they're quickly passing away. But it makes me just grateful for just the way that they I'm going to say take it in stride. No, that was our duty. Don't make us a hero. No, they're heroes. They're certainly heroes. But I just love that mentality, that mindset. No, we just did our job. We did what we were supposed to do. Might we still have that same kind of a mindset today? Amen? Praise the Lord for the sacrifices, folks, that have been made for us. May we be grateful for what Christ did for us. If you're here today without Christ, I urge you to trust him as your personal Savior. With that, let's bow our heads and let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for today that we could commemorate this special occasion, Memorial Day. Of course, we know that's tomorrow, but as we celebrate it today, we thank you for those who willingly took or made that ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. Some didn't make it, but they were willing to. But there were certainly those that did, and we thank you that we can honor their memory. Thank you for how you use them to keep our nation free. So, Lord, thank you for the liberties that we have. Help us to always remember that somebody paid a price, and help us to learn that same lesson of making sacrifices so that somebody else could be bettered by them. Help us not to be selfish. Help us not to become full of ourselves. And then, Lord, we pray for those that may be here today that don't know you as their Savior. We pray you work in their hearts and show them how you love them. You gave yourself up as a ultimate sacrifice for every one of us. You died on a cross for our sins that we could have eternal life. And so many of us here today know that, and we're grateful for that. But there may be some, Lord, that don't know that. We pray you work in their hearts and show them that you died for them and that they need to trust you as their Savior if they're to be saved. So we pray you work in those hearts. Thank you once again for this day. Thank you again for your goodness to us. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.